Father, we just come to you this morning and we are just so thankful for the relationship that Joel has with you. We know that he loves you, and that's apparent by his step in faith. And we just ask that you can strengthen that relationship with this time that he's really needs to be comforted by you. And we just pray for the Holy Spirit to be with you. We definitely pray for Joel and Gabby and their relationship and their marriage to grow stronger in the Lord. We just know that your presence is with them, and we just pray that your Holy Spirit could speak to them and just help lead them as they go forward as a family. We think of their kids, and we really pray for the kids to just, they miss their dad, and we just really pray that you could be in their midst and support them and the family relationships that they have. We pray for just the counselors that come along with Joel, and that it could be somebody that can relate to him, and we really pray for your Spirit to guide that situation. And Lord, we know that you can do that. We think of our church family here, that we can be ready to help with the needs and the prayers of their family, and we can keep their family in prayer. We think of Joel's workplace and his absence, and we just pray for the extended Merritt family, that you can just comfort them and there can be a support with Joel in this. And we pray that the Lord will be glorified with Joel's steps of faith and that he can be glorified. Lord, we think of the Clifton family also and Rudy Reese's family, and we pray for Frank also. And Lord, we just love that we can come forward and do this and that we can genuinely pray for these needs and concerns, and we pray that we can glorify you in what we do and the community that sees us through these situations. Lord, we pray for the meal to follow today in Jesus' name, and be with Ken and the message to follow in Jesus' name. Amen.
Well, good morning again. Let's go ahead and grab our Bibles. Let's open them up to the fifth chapter of 2 Corinthians. We've been covering fifth chapter of 2 Corinthians for some time now. We've been going through it. Today, we're going to look at, for one more last time, we're going to be looking at chapter 5. We're going to look at verse 21 today. Verse 21 is very simple. We're going to be talking about hope. It's a very straightforward and in the Word of God, this verse. He made him who knew no sin to be sin on our behalf so that we might become the righteousness of God in him. No greater message of hope than that verse. No greater truth of hope than that verse. And so we're going to be looking at today and all the way through our study of 2 Corinthians, especially chapters 3 through 5. God has been encouraging us as we through his Word, as we've been looking at it, understanding it, applying it to our life, to know that our lives have a tremendous purpose. Now, I want you to look at me for a moment. That's what God has been teaching us for a few months now and through his Word and what he's been talking about. For us to know and for us to understand and to us to believe and have faith in the midst of all that we got going on, in the midst of all of this life and all the trials and all the struggles and all the hiccups and all the ups and downs, that the believer's life in this world has a tremendous purpose. It has an eternal purpose. And Paul has been teaching us through 2 Corinthians all this. God, we're to know what God has done in our lives through salvation. We're to know what he has done. We're to know that he has restored our relationship with him, that God has made us have a new relationship, a new covenant relationship. We covered all of that. We're to know that eternal life with God is now and forever will be. We have eternal life now, a life of knowing God and relationship with God, interacting with God, God at work in our lives, God working through our lives now, and it will go on all the way through eternity. That's what eternal life is, of knowing God now, and that God be at work in your life now, and representing God now, and then in through all the way through eternity of having this intimate, real relationship with God. It's like what Paul told Timothy in 1 Timothy 6:12. He said, take hold of the eternal life which you've been called. You're to take hold of the reality of what God has done in our life. We're to grab hold of it, that word in there. Get a firm grip on the reality of knowing God now and forever, and that he is at work through and in your life. Get a grip on that. Our life matters. Our life has purpose. You're to know that your life has a purpose beyond the temporal, the eternal purpose. Paul has been teaching us all of that. These are just generalizations of what we've been talking about. For God is at work through you, and he is at work in you. Each day you walk with the Lord is valuable, it's worthy, it's meaningful, it's filled with purpose. God is growing you, God is maturing you, God is helping you, guiding you, he's giving you wisdom, he leads you. Each day strength is from him. Each day God is changing the way you live, God is changing the way you think, God is changing the, what you live for. God is at work in our lives tremendous ways. By his transforming power, by the power of God, he is working in our lives, changing the way we live. Each day is a day of God working on conforming you to the image of his son. That's absolutely amazing. If you just grab hold of what I'm talking about, your life has an incredible purpose. Now, do we miss it at times? Yes. Do we not be in relationship with God and we're kind of off on our own? Yes. And so that work is hindered in a way, but never stop because it's God and God himself at work in our lives and through our lives. Not only is he working in us, he's working through us. That's what we studied, what we looked at. Each day is filled with a purpose that God is working through your lives, through your very existence, through all of your life and what you're living. That's what we looked at. What God said is he's manifesting the life through you. He's manifesting the life of Christ. He's making it known. He's displaying it to the people around you. He's making an appeal from you. We talked about in Sunday school. God is making an appeal to those around you that God is real, that Christ is true, that salvation can be had, that God can be forgiven, or you can be forgiven, and that you can have the life of God. You can have all hope, all of these things. God's making an appeal to be reconciled back to God right through your life. That's the word of God. That's what it says. That's the purpose. You have that purpose every day. I want you to think a moment. Somebody that is unsaved has none of that. Somebody that doesn't know the Lord, isn't reconciled back to God, hasn't been forgiven of their sin, has none of that. Their life's random. The Bible affirms that. Their life's random. It goes where it goes. It ends up where it ends up. It's just lived and it's died, and then you live separated from God for eternity. And it had no meaning, no value, no purpose. That's the word of God. But our life has purpose, has meaning, is full and rich because of God has reconciled us back to him. God is at work bringing restoration, redemption, reconciliation, bringing a restored relationship between man and God through what you're doing in life. That's certainly worthy of living for. That's certainly worthy of dying for. That's certainly worthy of sacrificing for. All of this purpose comes to us through being reconciled back to God. That's what we've been studying and going through. And that's just a generalization of what I've taught in the last, since chapter 3, of what God has been saying. We have to capture that. We have to grab that reality. Get a grip on the reality of the eternal life that you have. That you know what? Today, throughout this day, in your relationship with God, God's purpose is to work in your life. And that today, throughout your day and what it is, in your relationship with God, God's purpose is to display the Lord Jesus Christ right out of your life. And then for people to see that, for them to be reconciled, to be redeemed, brought back into a relationship with him, that's an incredible purpose. Like I said, we miss it, we stumble, we don't get in our relationship with God and those kind of things. We get lost in some other things, and there's other things to do, I get it. But God is at work in this world through you and me. And it's a tremendous purpose that he's given us. Your life, my life, is filled with purpose. It's filled with hope. And I want to talk to you about hope today. Write that right on the top of your outline, hope. Your life is filled with hope. Your life is filled with a confident expectation that God will do what he said he will do in and through your life. You have a confident expectation. Church, do you have a confident expectation that God will work in your life? Do you have a confident expectation that God will work through your life? That's called hope. That's what it is. It's the hope of God. It's the hope that he's given us in this life. This is what hope is. We have all hope. Today I want to just touch lightly on this verse, 2 Corinthians 5:21, which is really the message of hope. But before we can get into the message of hope, we have to understand what hope is and talk about hope a little bit. Because we got to be clear about what it is to have hope. This verse, verse 21, is all hope. It brings all hope to all the hopeless. This truth unleashed upon mankind is hope. So we need to know what hope is. for you and me, this truth in this verse has given us all of God's hope. So what's hope? I gave you a simple definition in your outline. This is hope. Looking forward to and confident expectation. Well, I got some great hope that today's barbecue is going to be a lot of fun. How about you? The practicality of hope. I got a confident expectation that that tri-tip's going to taste really, really good. I got some confident expectation that I am going to win the hula hoop tournament. I'm hopeless, right? But I want you to grab this because this is what we're talking about, and this is what God is saying. As God's people, you are people of hope. You have all hope because in your reconciled relationship with God, what God gave you is a confident expectation in regard to God's promises, a confident expectation that all that God said, all that he had promised, is yours. You should be walking in this life with a confident expectation that all that God has promised through his word, all that he said is that he's going to work in your life, all that he said that he's going to rescue you, he's going to deliver you, he's going to help you, he's going to get you through your weakness, he's going to console you and comfort you and guide you and lead you. He's never going to leave you. He's going to love you all the way to the end, all the way through it, all the way to it. All the word of God, all the promises of God that are in the word of God, you have to have a confident expectation that what God promised is true. It will happen. It's hope. It came from this message. It came from the message of hope. Because anybody reconciled back to God, anybody that has been redeemed and reconciled back to God and been saved, all the promises of God are yours, and God promises they're yours. That's what God says. So you have all hope. You have a confident expectation that all that God has promised will come true. It will happen. You look forward to this in confident expectation concerning God's promises. It's really the only hope in this life. Listen, the lost world has no hope. Get that, okay? Write that down. They have no hope. Outside of Jesus Christ and believing in him, they don't have any hope. They don't have any confident expectations concerning God's promises because they're unreconciled. And if you're unreconciled to God, then his promises aren't for you. Now, I want you to get this for a moment because we're going to talk about hope. And I want you to put this, and this is hard to say and difficult to say, but it's absolutely true. Somebody that is not a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, that hasn't put their trust in Christ and hasn't been reconciled to God, God does not hear your prayer. God isn't guiding your life. God isn't leading your life. He's not making things happen in your life. God is not at work in your life because there's a breach between you and God. There's enmity between you and God. There's a wall that is between God ministering to you as a father, to being into your life and all that. There's a breach. You are sin. You're enmity to God. And if you're unsaved, God's not hearing your prayer. He's not guiding your life. He's not using you. You have no purpose. That's the word of God. That's the truth of God's word. He's not at work in any of those things. The only thing he would be at work at, trying to get you see your depravity and your recognition that you need to trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. The rest of it is random. That's hard to say. But that's our world. It's lost. But once you get reconciled to God, all of his promises that he's made through the word of God, you should have confident expectation that they're yours because God says they're yours. That I'm working through your life. That I'm using you to bring about the purposes that I want to bring about. That I'm at work in your very heart and soul, at very in your life, working in your life, in your relationship with me. God is at work in doing all of that in the believers. And what he's at work at is to try to get the non-believer to see their need of reconciliation to God so their life is restored in relationship with God, and God will work in their life and use them also. So let's talk about hope a little bit today. I want you to grab your Bible. I got my outline right here. And let's just walk through the Bible on some hope verses. Because the important thing in our heart is to understand, because of the grace of God and the mercy of God, I have hope. Not because Ken's really good or Ken was a great guy, or God needed to get Ken into heaven, or God. No, it's because of the mercy and grace of God that I have hope, that we have hope, and the world has no hope. And so grab your Bible and your outline. Let's just walk through hope. Very simple message of hope, very simple truth of hope, and we want everybody to have the hope that God wants us to have. That's why we're here. We're trying to live in such a way that God would work through our lives to bring a testimony of Christ so people can have hope. Because the world doesn't have any hope. They have no confident expectation on anything that God has said because they're separated from God. But we are people of hope. We have a confident expectation in all that God has said because we are His. So look at Ephesians 2 with me. Let's just turn the Bibles to Ephesians 2. And right there in your outline, I said right there at the beginning, it says the only hope begins with reconciliation. And that's what Paul is going to say here in Ephesians 2. Look at it with me. Look at verse 11, and we'll go down there and following here. And we're just, like I said, we're just going to walk through some word with the Word of God, just talking about hope. And my conviction and my desire is for us to see the incredible hope that we have every day compared with the no hope of all that don't know the Lord. So here Paul writes to Ephesians 2, verse 11. He says this, "Therefore remember that formerly you, the Gentiles in the flesh, who were called uncircumcision by the so-called circumcision, which were performed in the flesh by human hands, remember that you were at that time separated from Christ." Now, he's just talking about me and you and Gentiles. Gentiles are those that haven't been reconciled back to God, that aren't God's people, that don't have a faith and belief in the Lord. He said, now you need to remember, I need to remember, we need to remember the condition that people are in, that when they're separated from Christ, they're separated from Him. There's a wall, there's a breach, there is no avenue apart from asking for forgiveness. There's no relationship going on. There is no hope. And listen to what he says as he goes on. "Remember that you were that time separated from Christ, excluded from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers to the covenants of the promise, having no hope and without God in the world." Now, you understand what hope is, right? What is hope? Confident expectation, looking forward to, and confident expectation concerning God's promises. He just said, all the Gentiles, all the people that don't have Christ, that are separated from Him, that aren't reconciled to God, what the Word of God said is they have no hope. They have no God in the world. God is trying to draw them to Him. God is at work in them, wanting them to see Christ, convicting them of sin, all those kind of things. But they have no confident expectation for any of God's promises. That's what no hope is. God isn't making their career better. God isn't making their home better. God isn't working in all. Now, you guys are catching on what I'm talking about, aren't you? I want you to think about all of the people that in your life that don't know Christ. There's a lot of them, aren't there? They have no hope. Absolutely none. Except for the truth of Jesus Christ. And who are you? You are the person that possesses all hope. That's who you are in this world. It isn't about condemning them. It isn't about telling them that their behavior is wrong. It isn't about telling them that they're just lost. They're just the gang member and what they are, and the bad person and what they are, and all of the things they are. They have no hope. God isn't leading their life at all. God isn't guiding them and doing any of that in their life like He's doing it in your life. He's not doing that in their life. God is asking you to live in such a way so He can show them their need of hope through you. We are people of hope. The world has absolutely none apart from us living what God has asked us to live. That's how much hope you have. That's how much hope is in your life and through Jesus Christ, is that you are hope. You carry the hope, you are the hope, you have the message of hope. That's an incredible purpose. You should be overwhelmed. You should get on your knees. You should cry, because God has asked you to help in this world to give the fallen hope, because somebody lived it and that's how it got to you. What if everybody 50 years ago quit living hope? Quit living for the Lord? Well, yeah, the rocks cry out, God to do whatever He's going to do. You can fall into the sovereignty of God and say, God to save everybody, He's going to save, and all of that kind of thing. Maybe at the end of your life it might have happened. God has asked us to live something in this world, in this life, and we have all hope. You have all hope. You have incredible hope. Do you know every promise in the Word of God is yours? You just got to make sure it's God's promise. Every single one of them. God's not holding any of them back, because we all have hope. Look at the rest of the verse. Look what he says. "But now in Christ Jesus, you who are formerly far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ, for He Himself is our peace." You're at peace with God. There's no enmity. I don't care how bad you lived your life. I'm going to say that. Some people may get bothered with me. But you're not going to get punished for your sin. There's no enmity between you and God. God's not going, oh, how can you? You're bad. You did that. Now, I'm not saying that, you know, go ahead and just sin because God doesn't get mad at it, all that. But there's no enmity. There's no hatred. Before Christ, all it was hatred. There's no enmity being Jesus Christ. My life is saved, sanctified, restored, redeemed. I've been reconciled back to God. I've been forgiven through the blood of Christ. My past sins, my present sins, my future sins. God's just now trying to work in my life, in my relationship, working in me and through me for his glorious purposes. And all the promises of God are mine. Because I've been made at peace through Jesus Christ. Verse 16, this is going on, and Paul saying, and that God might reconcile them both, Jew and Gentile, in one body to God through the cross of Christ, paying the penalty of our sin, believing in him, by it having put to death the enmity. Do you see the lost world is at enmity with God? Even if they don't act like it, even if they don't know it, even if God is at enmity with them. That's why they're lost. That's why they have no hope. Because their life is in enmity with God. God, there's a breach, there's a wall. And God has asked you to live a certain way, and he wants to work in your life for you to be conformed to the image of Christ, displaying the truth of Christ right out of your life, and then sharing the word of Christ, and then God reconciling people, putting down the wall through the forgiveness of Christ, restoring the breach in people's lives so they can have all hope in Christ. Verse 17, and he came and preached peace to you who are far off and peace to those who are near. For through him we both have our access in one spirit to the Father. You saw it right in there. Christ came preaching peace. Because we need peace between the Father and ourselves. We need peace between us and God. We're enmity of God apart from salvation. And once you are, then now you have access to the Father. You have total relationship with God. And verse 19 through 22 talks about now you're the household of God and God's at work in your life. So hope begins by reconciliation. It's the only thing that brings hope. Apart from reconciliation to God, the world has no hope. They can say they have hope in this. They have confident expectation this will work, that will work. God's not involved in their life. It doesn't work. Apart from them being saved. He might be at work in their life bringing them to see their need of salvation, but life doesn't work apart from the promises of God. See, me and you, we have an eternal hope. Turn your Bibles to Colossians 1. We have an eternal hope. We don't just have a present hope. We have an eternal hope. We'll look at present hope in a minute, but we have a, me and you, we have an eternal hope. You know, our looking forward to and confident expectation of God's promises, God has promised something after all of this. Something incredible, something amazing in heaven. Something of an eternal life that is absolutely real as our life is today. God promised it was. God promised that in an eternal life when Christ returns and then rules and reigns for 1,000 years, and then he judges everyone, and then the new heaven and earth comes. God has promised that existence that we will have will be much better than the one we have now. No sin, no sorrow, a new body, perfect life, perfect place, all that kind of stuff. And he has promised that it will be real life like the life that we have now. We have an eternal hope, a hope of eternity. Look at what Paul wrote in Colossians 1:3-5. Paul says, you know, this would be right at the beginning of Christianity. This is right at the beginning of the gospel going forth. And he's writing to a church that, you know, it's less than 5 years everybody's been a Christian, probably less than three. And here's what Paul says. Boy, we give thanks to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you since we've heard of your faith in Jesus Christ and the love which you have for all the saints because of the hope laid up for you in heaven, which you previously heard in the word of truth. Now, I misspoke last week and said, you know, when I was talking about the gospel, that will promise heaven as part of the gospel, as not as part of the gospel. The gospel isn't just about getting heaven. But yes, it is part of the gospel that you get heaven, that you get a reconciled relationship with God all the way through eternity, where all of God's promises of God are yours, where you have an eternal life, a life of very existence in heaven, in the new heaven and earth with God, in his presence with all those that have believed. That is part of the gospel presentation, because the reconciliation that God wants to do starts now and goes all the way through there. Christ didn't just come to get you to heaven. Christ came to reconcile you back to God, work in your life, work through your life, to present the truth of God and the reconciliation of God while you are here in this temporal earth, and then get you to the place that God has promised for all of us. So that hope, that confident expectation looking forward to in the gospel, because of it, we have a love for one another. That's what he's saying. Because we have an eternal hope, we have love for all the saints because of what we heard that was laid up for us in heaven. Now turn to 1 Peter 1. What's laid up in heaven for us? Let's just talk about hope. We're talking about a confident expectation that you have today in your life. If you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, it's the promise of God. What is the eternal hope that we have? Let's turn to 1 Peter 1. And I'm just kind of lightly touching on all this, and I'm not going to get to every verse that I could get to and all of that. But I want to set some things in our heart to just know what we have in this world, the hope that we have. Listen to what Peter says, 1 Peter 1. 3, the Apostle Peter, writing about our eternal hope, says this: "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to the great mercy, to God's great mercy, has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead." We have a living hope. It is a confident expectation that you're living with every day in your life, that you're living every day in God's promises that are eternal. And here's what his promises that are eternal. "You are going to obtain an inheritance which is imperishable and undefiled," verse 4, "and will not fade away, reserved in heaven for you. You are protected by the power of God through faith of salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time." Now, I'm not going to get into what is all there, but it's absolutely incredible. In verse 6, he says, "In this you greatly rejoice." See, we have a living hope. Every single day of my life, every single day of my life, I know that the journey that I am on, whether I get another 30 years here or I get another 30 minutes here, I know that the journey of what God is on, God has promised in his word a life for me of a new body in a perfect place for no sin, no sorrow, in a relationship with God where the presence of Christ physically is there with all the other believers, and we're living in a worship of God, in a relationship with God that's beyond all comparison, that my imagination cannot even capture. But I walk in a confident expectation of that is the truth of God for me. You think that changes the way you live? Are we to get to where we're 65 and it's getting frail and it's falling apart and these kind of things, and now we are just falling all apart because we're not going to get another 15 years here? Now, I understand the struggle and I understand the difficulty. I've lost both parents, 70 and 71, and I watched in their heart and I watched in their face the difficulty it is to let go of this physical life. But God's promises are hope. He didn't say that so you would get no hope. Listen, the world is hopeless. Go to a funeral with no Christ. There is absolutely no hope. I mean, absolutely none. Oh, well, we'll see him there. Oh, well, he'll be there. Oh, and it's just like, oh my gosh, they will not. And I got all hope. How prideful of me to keep my mouth shut. How arrogant of us to say, I got hope. And you know what? The hopeless? Heck with the hopeless. God, how come I don't have? We haven't been going through all of this so we would come out and be, man, aren't we wonderful? We haven't been going through God's word. Paul isn't preaching this to 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians writing this letter to him because he wants the Corinthians to say, oh, why aren't we wonderful? He's saying you're living sinful lives, self-focused. Get off yourself. There's a purpose to live for. And it ain't that what you guys are living for. Capture God's message. This is serious. Yes, we are overwhelmingly blessed, but you know what? If you can't preach the truth of God's promise to everyone everywhere, it is not God's promise. You might want to write that down. That's really good. Because if you present a promise of God that he's going to give you wealth or make you have a better home or that he's going to give you health, go preach that in a third world country. You can't, because it's not a promise. Church, we can't keep going around promising what God has not promised. That's no hope. I have a strong conviction of this. People need to be saved. They need the Lord Jesus Christ. They need to come to reconcile relationships, not have a better job. In God, there's all hope. He can rescue you, anybody, from anything. And that's what he wants to do, whatever it might be. And he's given you the tools and the calling and the power of God to use you for that purpose. Hope. Look at verse 13. I got excited there. Forgive me for that. I can't get over how hopeless this world is. I don't want them to fix America. I want them to save America. Because when I want them to fix it, it's for me and my comfort. And Jesus didn't die on the cross for that. I'm sure thankful for the comfort. I'm sure wonderful the comfort. I'm going to go pray. I'm going to lead in a prayer for the church and for the body of Christ and for that we be a testimony. I want God to work in our nation. And yes, because God has worked in our nation, because we are on the foundation of Christ, our nation was flourishing. But we dropped the mantle in our flourishing. We became about that we have to follow God so we flourish. Our promise is bigger than that. Look at verse 13, 1 Peter. Therefore, prepare your minds for action. Keep sober in spirit. Fix your hope completely on the grace to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. We got to be prepared. We got to be sober. Fix my confident expectation completely on the grace to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Pastor Tom, that's two messages there, isn't it? Let me give you the one that is right there in front of us. Fix your confident expectation that God will fulfill every promise that's in this Word of God at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Nobody's going to find one that he didn't fulfill. Nobody. Hebrews 6, 17 and following, we won't turn there, says God cannot lie. And by two unchangeable promises of God, his pledge and his promise, that he will complete what he started with Abraham. God will bless you and he will multiply you. Your blessing is that you're saved. He will multiply you, that through you he will bring your kids, your spouse, your family, your neighbors, your friends, your people to Christ. And he promised it to Abraham. And by two unchangeable things, God's pledge, God's promise, he made an oath. God cannot lie. And then he says this in chapter 6. And for us that took refuge in Christ, in God, we need to make this an anchor of hope for our soul, of confident expectation that God will work through your life to minister to your children, that God will work through you and your relationship with him to share Jesus Christ to your family. The only hope that anybody has is to see the Lord Jesus Christ, surrender their life to him, and then all hope is theirs. And God made a promise to Abraham that he will bless you and multiply you. I will save you, I will rescue you, I deliver you, I'll have a relationship with me, and I'll get you all the way to your eternal hope, and I will multiply people that's going to happen through you. And God cannot lie. That's an anchor for our soul. That's our present hope. That's the hope. We are people of hope. Hebrews 4, 16 through 18. Is it 16 through 18? 14 through 16. Since we have a high priest that is now in heaven in the sanctuary of God, in the holies of holies, Jesus Christ, and that he gave his life, died on the cross, was raised again and went there. Since we have a high priest that sympathizes with all of your pain, all of your struggle, all of your temptation, all of your weaknesses, that he sympathizes with them. He knows them all because he was tempted beyond all of us that were tempted, but tempted in all of them. And so we have a God, we have Christ in the heavenly of heavenlies, in the holies of holies, with God at the right hand of the Father, there for us that we can draw near to, that we could come near to. And it says in Hebrews that you can come near and seek in your time of need the grace and mercy of God, and he will give it to you. That's a promise. So in the midst of whatever you got going on in your life, in the midst of all of this, in your relational aspect with God, you can draw near to Him. You can come to Him, our high priest, who understands your struggle, who understands your weakness, who understands how hard it is, who understands whatever is happening in this world, that wants to comfort you and guide you and console you and help you and lead you and love you and give you strength and give you encouragement and give you perseverance and give you endurance and give you the things that God wants to do in your life so you can be a testimony of the Lord. You come to Him in your weakness. You come to Him in your strength, in your fallenness. You come to Him in whatever has, in a sense, overtaken you. And you come and you say, Lord, I ask you, I pray to you, I beg you, Lord, help me with this. Bring me the mercy I need. Bring me the grace. God will bring it. The struggle is we're not going to Him in our relationship. But God will bring it because we have present hope. That's why he says, and look at the Romans 15:13. Now you guys see the outline. I thought I was going to talk a lot more about this. But I'm just trying to encourage us all in the hope that we have in Christ and all hope. We are people of all hope. Look at Romans 15:13. That's why Paul writes this. Romans 15:13. In our present hope, with eternal hope, with all hope that we have in our reconciliation. Paul writes this as an ending to this chapter, and I'm just grabbing the one verse, Romans 15:13, and he says this, now may the God of hope, you guys know what hope is, right? Confident expectation concerning God's promises that they will all be ours. The God of hope that brings all hope, that gives confident expectation, that has the promises, fill you with all joy and peace in believing. There you go. And you're believing and you're trusting and you're putting your faith in God in the midst of everything going on and what's ever happening in the difficult things, in the struggles, in the temptations, in the worry over your children, in not knowing where they are with the Lord, and not knowing if they're going to go do the right thing, or sickness, or in health issues, or in very difficult things, as we would pray for the body of Christ and the difficult things in believing. If you believing in God and His word and His promises that He will work in my life, even though I might be taken captive by something that's overwhelmed me, and I come to the Lord believing in Him, He will fill me with the peace and joy of God because He's the God of all hope. And look at the end of the verse, so that you will abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. You know, God wants you to abound in the hope by His power because we're people of hope. We are the people of hope. Now look at 2 Corinthians 5:21. Now look at 2 Corinthians 5:21. Turn your Bibles there. We are people of all hope. Every day I have all hope. I have the hope of God. I have a confident expectation that God's going to work in my life. You know, I don't know how it's going to turn out. I don't know the circumstances, how they may be. They may not be circumstances that I like. They may be difficult circumstances. They may not go the way I want it to go. It certainly has been true in my life that all my circumstances of life have not went the way that I would want them to go, and God hasn't promised that they will go the way that I want them to go. That's not a promise in God's word, but through all the circumstances, through all the trials, through all the struggles, I am a person of hope. I have all confident expectation, looking for God's promises to work in my life, transform me, shape me, grow me, minister to me, love me, care for me, and then use me. And I know He will. And some of it's hard. But all of us are people of hope. Now Paul writes this one little verse right here, the message of hope. We're only going to look at it for one moment. But what I want you to do is I want you to proclaim this truth to yourself, this message of hope, and tell it to everyone that has no hope. It says basically this, He made Him who knew no sin to be sin on our behalf so that we might become the righteousness of God in Him. It's the doctrine of justification. I could have waxed elegant through all the doctrine of justification and how God could do all of that, but the message is hope. The people of hope have the message of hope. That says God made a way, doesn't it? Look at it with me again. He made Him who knew no sin to be sin on our behalf. That means God made a way. That's the He in the text. He made a way for all of us to have hope, to have all hope. to have salvation, to have reconciliation, to have restoration with God. God, the one who spoke light into existence. Put this in your mind. God, who made everything out of nothing and ex nihilo created all of this. God, the one who created the heavens and earth and stretched them out, who spread out the earth and its vegetation, who gives breath to all the people on it and a spirit to those that walk in it, Isaiah 42. That God made a way. That's the God that made a way. This isn't man's way. This isn't man's thing. God made a way. Our God, who made the earth by his power, who established the world by his wisdom, and by his understanding stretched out the heavens. That God made a way for you to be reconciled back to God, for you to be forgiven of your sin. Speak to your own heart about that. That God made a way for me to be reconciled. Speak that to the people that don't know it. No, God did this. This isn't man's religion. The Christianity has nothing to do with men. It's just they're followers of God, but it's all about God. Say what God wants us to say. For God made Jesus, who knew no sin, to be sin on your behalf. Just say it. And why? Because you're a sinner and you're going to pay the penalty of your sin. And that's what God's going to do. He's going to put it on you or put it on Christ. And you have no hope in this life if you don't believe in him. Just say it. Just tell people where the hope lies. No one is ever good enough. Nobody's a nice guy. All men have sinned. They were born in sin. They all fall short of the glory of God. Don't let anybody get away with, well, you know, I think God's going to accept that I'm kind of good. No, you're not. Let me get a video camera and walk around for 48 hours and follow you. Oh, no, you're not doing that. Well, because there's nobody good, nobody righteous. Come on, you're not. And you got the power of the Holy Spirit in your life. The only way you're righteous is God imputed it on you. But you're not righteous. Come on, church. Don't walk around that I'm righteous. I'm just righteous because God placed his righteousness on me. And now it's infecting my life, and so I'm doing things more rightly. Raise your hand if you're righteous. I'm going to raise mine because I am in the sight of God because the imputed righteousness of Christ lays all over me. And God sees me righteous, but I'm not righteous. Are you? Church, let's help the people that are lost. What is the worldview of Christianity? Well, those guys think they're all good and perfect and all that, and they're all a bunch of hypocrites that are not. I'm not good. I'm just righteous in the sight of God, imputed the righteousness on me, because God who made him who knew no sin to be sin on my behalf, and if I believed in him, then he just poured over me by his grace, lavished it on me. Always think of biscuits and gravy. Lavished all over me his righteousness. How can God punish me? I wear the righteousness of Christ. God loves me. God cares for me like I'm his son. No, he doesn't want me to do wrongly. He encourages me and guides me, and yes, he will discipline me to do rightly. But I'm reconciled. I have all hope. I have hope beyond anything, and I have the message of hope. We all fall short of the glory of God, and sin's penalty is death, spiritual separation from God and now forever. That's what death is. Separation. When you pass away, you separate from this body, you go to be somewhere else. If you're not reconciled to God, when you separate this, you go to the place that is separated from God forever, with no opportunity ever to be reconciled. It's a simple message, a message of hope. The Lord Jesus, who knew no sin, who never once missed the mark. That's just only, I just take that by faith. It's hard to not miss the mark in 15 minutes. I probably do the best up here because I'm captivated here. I can't miss the mark. I don't want to miss the mark. But he never sinned, no matter how difficult life was. And this Jesus bore our sin. That's how he became sin on your behalf. If you want to understand how it is, God credited to Christ my sin, my present, my past, my future sin. God, the one that everybody knows, Romans 1:20, all of that created all of this. That's what 1:20 says in Romans. All men know that God created all this. It's apparent. They see the nature and glory of God in his creation. All man does. They can walk around and say they don't. But take it in what God says. They all know God is there. Don't argue about him whether he's there or not. Tell them that God made a way for you to be reconciled. The message isn't to convince them there's a God. The message is that there is that this God that we all know exists made a way for you to have all hope. Where everything changes, And he imputed your sin on Jesus Christ at the cross. He placed it on him. Jesus bore it all. All to him I owe. Gosh, what a song. God poured his wrath upon Christ, the penalty of sin, your sin. And for that moment in the scriptures, that's where Jesus said, God, why have you forsaken me? For that moment, God the Father turned his back and was separated from God the Son. Only God understands that. But it's a demonstration of what it is in an unreconciled life back to God. He's this way to you. And if you put your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, he turns and says, welcome home. It's the only hope of the world. It's the only hope. It's the message of hope. And we are the people of hope. And he says he placed it on him, he bore it all on our behalf. Whose behalf? That's pretty simple. Verse 17, 18, and 19. The ones that have been reconciled back to God, the ones that have the new life in Christ are new creatures, the ones that are ambassadors of God. God loved the world in this way. He gave his only begotten Son so that whoever would believe in him shall not perish but have eternal life. That's the message of hope. That's the message of hope. That they would have eternal life, a life knowing God now and forever, a life of reconciled relationship with God, a life filled with hope, a life of confident expectation concerning God's promises, and God made the way. Jesus paid it all for us to be given so that we would be right for God, right before God, and that's what it means, so that we might become the righteousness of God in him. God, when I believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, as much as he credited my sin on the cross of Christ. Only God could do that. How could God place my sin? I mean, I was born in 1962. How could he place my sin on the shoulders of Christ when Christ died in the year 33, 34, whatever that is, and place him on Christ? And when Christ died, I died, and he died for my sin, that when I would believe in him, he would impute, he would place on me the righteousness of God. No wonder it says God made a way. Can you imagine anybody trying to say somehow your effort, your way, your reconciles you back to God? God did this. And he brought all hope. God wants to make you right with God. And if you're his, you are right with God. You have all hope. God made a way. Faith in the Lord Jesus Christ is the message of hope. I'll end with this. We are the people with all hope. Whatever your life is, with the message of hope. And we live in a world that has no hope. I can't get over the purpose. That's the purpose that we get to be a part of. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this morning and for just the opportunity to gather together and worship you. We thank you for all the ministering to our hearts and minds that you've been doing through your word as we've been studying it and going through 2 Corinthians here. So many fabulous things, Lord. So many things you're ministering to us in our heart. So many truths that have been presented that you've been speaking to our lives in each and every different way. You've been at work changing our hearts, been at work changing our thoughts, changing our thinking, changing the way we live. Not because we're all horrible. Not because we all don't do very good at it. Not because that's what you're doing in our lives. You did that all the way the end to the Apostle Paul. You did that all the way the end of Apostle Peter. You're going to do that all the way the end of mine. All the end to the end of every believer here. That's what you do. You're at work in our lives. Not mad at us, not just at work in our lives. The Bible would call that for our good. Romans 8:28 would say that God is working all things together for the good. That is our good, that you would work in our lives, all things, the struggles, the difficulties. We have it easy in America, really, compared to the rest of the world. And what they go through to stand for Christ. But that doesn't make it any different because you are in charge of where we're at. So we thank you for your word to us. We thank you for that we have all hope. We all have all confident expectation to look forward to each and every promise that you've made in your word, that you will bring it forth in our life. that you are a God that cannot lie. That one day we will stand before you and say, wow, he absolutely, everything God has said is absolutely true and has been brought forth. You're that faithful. And for those you're ministering today that maybe they don't know for sure that they have Christ, maybe not confidence in their heart, or maybe they don't, you are at work there, Lord. For we are yours, and you are going to display the life of Christ through us, through your word, through the way we live. Lord, our heart, our compassion is for them to see you and just to repent and say, you know, Lord, forgive me for the sin in my life and accept me, because I know you will, because you took my sin upon the cross. Reconcile me back to you, God. Restore me in the salvation that's going to be mine. After that, Lord, lead them in the way that you would have for them. For we all have hope. We thank you for today's activities and all the fun we're going to have, and for the wonderful food that will be here today, for the people that are here, for the life that we have, for today's joy. And we want to be people of believing and to be filled with joy and peace of the God of hope. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.